This is WKAR Online. A surprising number of employees are giving away the store. New research from Michigan State University shows that nearly 70% of workers admit to sweethearting. That's the practice of giving free goods and services to customers. The cost to businesses is $80 billion a year. Clay Voorhees conducted the study. He's an assistant professor of marketing at MSU. Voorhees interviewed nearly 800 people in service jobs, promising to keep their names confidential. As he tells WKAR's Gretchen Millick, Voorhees expected to find this behavior in bars and restaurants, but was surprised to find it in a number of industries, including insurance.
There were some unique drivers of this particular behavior because it's a very social behavior where it's not typical theft scenario where you're stealing for your own benefit. It's much more Robin Hood-esque, where it's altruistic, where employees are taking all of the risk but receiving none of the direct benefits. So we noticed key drivers were things such as reciprocity, where there's an informal network among service employees where it's almost a tit-for-tat type of exchange, where if I come into your place of work and you hook me up with free services, the same will happen when you show up as a customer to my establishment. In addition to that, we noticed, obviously, financial gain was an indirect motivator, so people could increase their tips for unfair pay if they gave away free food and drinks. And probably the most interesting thing is a lot of these are hard to challenge. The threat of firing employees, the threat of sanctions, actually had very limited effect on preventing the behavior.
That is kind of surprising because you would think the fact that it's illegal and that they could lose their job over it would deter people from doing it.
Yeah. So when you look at the threat of firing and the risk of getting caught in isolation, it's a big deterrent. But once you start accounting for these other factors, such as their need for social approval, the extra money they can make, the organizational norms or how accepted it is in the company, all of a sudden that threat of punishment, those effects go away. So in isolation, they're great, but a lot of prior studies hadn't taken this broader look. And we think as a result, overlooked some of the complexity of this particular behavior.
You were mentioning that this goes beyond restaurants and bars. What's one of the strangest things or one of the most expensive things that you found that employees were giving away?
The most outlandish is we actually verified the behavior in insurances where people were falsifying insurance claims and really inflate those. Another was a worker at an office superstore type of business who would change the UPC codes for pencils and put them on everything all the way up to $200 merchandise. And their friends would come in and they'd scan, let's say, basically a new PDA, and they'd get charged 39 cents. And the UPC code would read as it went across the cash register. They'd hand them a dollar bill and they'd walk out with the much higher end merchandise.
Now, what are you suggesting that businesses do to try to stop employees from doing this?
We think there's probably short-term and long-term. We know right now about two-thirds of service employees are engaging in it. So it's a majority. So in the short run, we think an easy thing to go through and do is try to educate employees on the real costs of this. I think a lot of employees fail to understand how small profit margins are in a lot of these industries. And what seems like small tokens of friendship and gratitude can actually cost the firm substantially. There's actually been some research where if you just remind employees of their ethical obligations just with a sign, it can actually lead to a drastic reduction in deviant behavior alone. So simply having a little bit of a reminder daily through education or even through some signage might lead to a drop down. In the long run, we think it's more screening and changing the organizational norms. So if we can go through and make sure with a few of the personality traits we identified, add three or four new questions to an employee screening document and screen out the at-risk employees. Employees that are higher in risk-seeking, higher in need for social approval, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to engage in this behavior, but they're more at risk to do it. So why take that chance and just pull them out of your pool? By doing that, we think over time, that 33% minority that doesn't engage in the behavior can slowly become a slim majority. And once the majority of people don't engage into it, the norms in the companies will change. And all of a sudden, the behavior we think will start to decrease. They'll never go away. One thing we've been looking at now was trying to understand maybe some of the pressures the employees experience. We painted the employees a little bit as the villains in this study. Ideally, they shouldn't do this behavior, but there's a lot of working conditions that may be triggering it and trying to understand that situation a little bit better.